Support for this podcast and the following message come from Wise, the app that makes managing your money in different currencies easy. With Wise, you can send and spend money internationally at the mid-market exchange rate. No guesswork and no hidden fees. Learn more about how Wise could work for you at wise.com.
Today on State of the World, scrambled GPS is the new electronic fog of war. Thanks for listening to State of the World from NPR. We bring you the day's most vital international stories up close where they're happening. I'm Greg Dixon. Modern militaries, like the rest of us, rely on GPS. They use it to guide missile and drone strikes. Combatants also mess with GPS signals as a way to confuse their enemies. But it isn't only the battlefield that's impacted. Today, we're going to hear two stories about the difficulties caused by relying on GPS for a wide variety of things in regions experiencing war. In a few minutes, what it can mean for dating apps in the Middle East. First, NPR's Jenna McLaughlin explains how GPS jamming is affecting the power grid in Ukraine.
Last spring, Joe Marshall was digging into a hearty meal at the Sundance Steakhouse in Palo Alto, California, when inspiration struck.
The whole thing was just one bit of dumb luck stacked on top of another. You know what I mean? Like,
Marshall is a cybersecurity expert at Cisco, a top U.S. technology company. He was at that Sundance Steakhouse with a visiting delegation of Ukrainian energy officials. They were all with the government's main electric utility, Ukrenergo.
So it was the entire Ukrenergo delegation, and they were literally just in town.
It had been over 2 years since Russia launched its full-scale invasion. Ukraine's power grid was being attacked relentlessly, by bombs and cyber attacks alike. But those weren't the only problems with keeping the lights on.
And they were just going through a litany of issues. And of course, the kinetic strikes were high on the list, and also just indiscriminate bombing as well, right? And sort of sandwiched in between all of that, one of the executives said, you know, we can't even get reliable GPS time because of jamming and interference.
Hold it right there. GPS, the thing we use to get driving directions? What could that have to do with the power lines? I spoke to Sergei Galagan, Ukrenergo's chief information officer, to get to the bottom of it.
The metering device stopped to send in the right information.
The metering device wasn't sending the right information. It's a complicated system, but here's how it works, Galagan says. Ukraine's power grid has a bunch of monitoring devices that help it know how much power to send and where at all times. They have to be synchronized. Linking them to GPS helps accomplish that. Losing that connection can mess everything up. To explain, Joe Marshall takes us back to high school.
And the metaphor I like to use is a marching band, right? But this marching band is, you know, 25,000 kilometers long. The tubas cannot see the woodwinds. The trumpets cannot see the clarinets. But we need to make sure that everyone is stepping at the same time over an incredibly long distance. And, well, we probably need a clock to do that.
Unfortunately for this gigantic marching band, which represents the Ukrainian power system, GPS jamming and interference is a major part of modern warfare. Both Russia and Ukraine do it. They use giant radio dishes to send out noisy signals to block the tracking technology. They do it to prevent their enemy from precisely targeting missiles and from piloting drones over the border. The fact that the power grid also relies on GPS, it's another casualty of war.
So we are dealing with thousands of different problems and obstacles.
Electronic warfare was one of many of Ukraine's problems, says Galagan. Sometimes they'd have to go outside and fix a bombed-out fiber-optic cable. Even at the office, they're ducking into underground shelters as missile sirens erupt, sometimes 4 or 5 times a day. But GPS jamming disrupting the flow of power? This was one problem Joe Marshall became obsessed with. First, he suggested Ukraine buy a bunch of atomic clocks. They're a lot more resilient to interference, but they're also really expensive.
I sort of did what I call the American hand wave, right? Go buy the most expensive thing to fix your problem.
He would have to be more creative and find something that was good enough and cheap enough to do the job in a war zone. Luckily, another team at Cisco had already developed what's called an industrial Ethernet switch.
So inside of our industrial Ethernet switches, we have something called an oven-controlled crystal oscillator. The acronym is OCXO.
Let's unpack that one a little bit. Put simply, inside most clocks are tiny little crystals like quartz. Pass an electric current through them, and they vibrate at a consistent rate. A crystal oscillator, bingo, you've got time. But if those crystals get too hot or cold or get damaged somehow, they don't work as well.
And it turns out that our internal oscillators were already built to be ruggedized, right? And so it was the answer was really sitting right in front of us the whole time.
Within weeks, Marshall and his colleagues were working on prototypes.
Some of our government partners were like, look, we've got a humanitarian aid flight already leaving. Get this to me in 5 days. You can hitch a ride with your prototypes. And one of the best days of my life was, it works.
Within 6 months, the devices were embedded in Ukraine's grid.
And it works right now.
The whole problem demanded a lot of ingenuity. Here's Sergei Galagan again.
Oh, yeah. We are pretty creative. So we do need, non-standard solutions because in other case, we lose the war.
Otherwise, they lose the war. It's life and death for Ukraine, but their discovery reveals a larger problem, over-reliance on technology like GPS. The U.S. Federal Aviation Administration, or the FAA, says GPS jamming in major conflicts is on the rise, in places like Ukraine and Israel. That poses a major flight safety risk to commercial planes, they say. And it gets worse. GPS jamming is one thing, but adversaries can also spoof GPS signals. Make it seem like a plane or boat is somewhere completely different than where it actually is.
That is a much more difficult problem to solve.
Knowing Joe Marshall, he probably won't let that problem go either.
It might be my next challenge. At this point, who the heck knows?
Jenna McLaughlin, NPR News.
It's that last issue that Jenna mentioned, GPS spoofing, that is causing a wide variety of problems in the Middle East. NPR's Jane Arraf explains.
This is near Beirut's international airport. Dozens of planes take off and land here every day. But with military tampering of GPS systems since the start of the war in Gaza, lately GPS locations are placing ships, aircraft, and people hundreds of miles away at this airport as well.
Beirut is kind of a hot spot right now because all of the spoofing, or most of the spoofing around Israel, is directing aircraft to believe that they are at the Beirut airport.
That's Professor Todd Humphreys at the University of Texas in Austin. He's one of the world's top experts on GPS interference. Spoofing sends false signals to GPS systems, the new jamming, Humphreys calls it. He says it's been used by Russia, China, occasionally Iran. But that's not who he says is behind what he calls unprecedented levels of spoofing he's seeing in the Middle East.
We know it's Israel for a couple of reasons.
He and his students calculate signals intercepted in orbit to determine their origin.
And that data points to a particular airbase run by the IDF in Israel when we process it through our specialized estimation techniques.
Israel warned after the war started that it was blocking GPS to counter drone and missile attacks. Mohammed Aziz, a consultant to Lebanon's Middle East Airlines, says pilots can no longer rely on satellite-based location or terrain warning systems.
So this can give you a wrong signal if you are flying over the sea and you don't have visibility, and the computer thinks he's overflying a mountain, he will tell you terrain, pull out. And if we don't see outside, we have to pull out.
Aziz, a retired airline captain, says Lebanon and other countries have instructed airlines to use visual navigation. Bridget Dykin, a data analyst at Lloyd's List, says the GPS interference is also affecting shipping. Ships use an automatic identification system, AIS, which transmits positions to avoid collisions. But Dykin says lately,
we're seeing a spike in vessels having their AIS essentially manipulated by third-party operators, seeing a massive uptick in the Eastern Mediterranean Sea.
International conventions have banned interference with GPS. That was until the annual meeting of the UN Body for Digital Technology in Dubai in December, which passed a caveat.
If a country decides that it wants to jam or spoof GPS, and can make some claim that it's related to its national security, there will be no adverse consequences.
He says there have so far been no accidents, but given the safety issues, he'd think twice about flying to some destinations.
It is simply more risky to be in a plane in Eastern Europe and in the Middle East right now than it was last year at this time.
The jamming has also wreaked havoc with phone apps, leading Uber drivers and dating app users astray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's 34. He's a software engineer.
This is Rayanne, who's Lebanese. She doesn't want her last name used because she says some people are judgmental about dating apps. She used to use Bumble a lot more, but lately, instead of matching her with guys in Beirut, it's flooding her with Israelis, like this one.
It mentions his height, helmet, how often he works out, you know, he's looking for a relationship. I mean, overall, he seems like a very, very chill guy. I would have never known, like, if it weren't for his biography and this picture of him in a uniform.
An Israeli military uniform. It goes with the rifle he's holding. This isn't just a matter of personal preference for Rayan. Lebanon and Israel are officially at war. A war that is affecting the region in so many unexpected ways. Jane Araf, NPR News, Beirut.
That's the State of the World from NPR. Thanks for listening.
Is it possible to engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Some entrepreneurs want to shoot particles into the stratosphere to combat global warming. Experts say regulations on this technology aren't keeping up. The world of solar geoengineering on the latest episode of The Sunday Story from NPR's Up First podcast.
Taylor Swift has dropped a new album. She is the biggest pop star in the world, and everything she does makes news.
I gasped. I was like, oh my God, I've been there, and you can identify with it.
For a breakdown of Taylor Swift and her new album, The Tortured Poets Department, listen to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
Jasmine Morris here from the StoryCorps podcast. Our latest season is called My Way. Stories of people who found a rhythm all their own and marched to it throughout their lives. Consequences and other people's opinions be damned. You won't believe the courage and audacity in these stories. Hear them on the StoryCorps podcast from NPR.